If you have your Bibles, go to Ruth chapter 2 if you'd like to kind of follow along tonight. And why don't we pray? And we ought to pray as well that God will just bless that meeting up there. Lord, thank you for your word. And we have prayed. We've already covered multiple areas. And Lord, we thank you just for the incredible story of your entire word, your story, God. We want to steward it well. And God, we thank you for this beautiful nugget of the book of Ruth. And Lord, as we turn to it again tonight and the next couple weeks on these nights together, Lord, we pray that you would just speak something new and fresh to us. Many of us have heard it over and over again, but Lord, I pray it would come into a fresh, new reality and application to our lives. And we thank you for your word. You've exalted above all things your name and your word. And Lord, we revere it tonight as we did this morning in the service together, Lord. Also bless the membership class. Thank you for Pastor Mike and Kenton and Dr. Rayleigh and others that are working together to equip and to welcome these new members into our church. Bless that meeting. We thank you, Lord. It's exciting to see a great group here in July coming into our membership, Lord. So bless them too, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Her arms and legs began to pulsate from the hours in the hot sun, and yet she pressed on. That someone would be so generous to her on her first day was overwhelming in light of her circumstances. She had gotten up before the sun peeked over the horizon, knowing the harvesters would begin their work early in the barley fields surrounding Bethlehem. Her desires had been quite simple that day, just to be allowed to glean the little leftovers that she might find. After all, it was in the law of Naomi's God that it required the farmers of Israel to do just that, to allow the poor and the alien to glean what little would be left behind those that produce the harvest. Yet not all had such generous hearts. And the second thing she desired was simply to not be harmed by the men in the fields, because word had spread very rapidly throughout the town that she was not only just Naomi's daughter-in-law, but she was from the land of Moab, 50 miles to the east of Bethlehem, a foreigner, an alien. So with trepidation of heart, she had walked along the dusty road until she spotted a group of young women, much like herself, beginning their work early that morning. And without a word spoken by any of them, she simply fell into line and began to bend over to pick up what scarce remains she could find. His kindness was almost confounding to her, beyond her imagination. Any wonder she fell to her knees in honor of this man who was of such great standing in that town. His words were like the oil poured upon one's head to refresh them in that hot Middle Eastern sun. And Boaz said to her, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Provision and protection. It's really all that she desired, and it was way beyond anything that she had imagined, that on top of it, the day would not just bring provision and protection, but it would bring providence. For Ruth just happened, the Bible says, to choose the field of Boaz, of all the fields abounding with the harvest that day. Boaz was wealthy and respected, but much more than that, he was in the clan of Elimelech, Naomi's husband. So actually, he was a relative of Ruth's by marriage. Only Jehovah could orchestrate such a find. Have you ever looked back across your life and realize that God was working behind the scenes when you didn't even know that he was at work? How many of you have had that happen in your life? Last Sunday night, as I was driven back to Minneapolis to then fly out the next morning, I got together with someone who had Facebooked me, and it had probably, I was guessing, we tried to figure it out. I think it was the second time in 33 years that we had been together. But Dick was an absolute godsend to me as a teenager. First time I saw him, he was in a newly formed Christian rock band in 1974, I believe it was. And Harry Hodge, our pastor, Sister Hodge is right here tonight. He had taken the risk, I'm sure, now I look back, of his entire ministry of having that Christian rock group on a Sunday night. Us kids, I was an eighth grader, we thought it was the coolest night of church we'd ever seen in our life. But looking back, I'm sure some of those parents and a few, I'm sure, of the elders thought otherwise, and poor Pastor Hodge that Monday morning must have been brutal. But Dick had been a Christian just for a very short time. But he quickly grew in the Lord. It wasn't long. He was working there for WIBI Radio, a vision that Brother Dorch and the Illinois District had to cover the southern and central part of Illinois with Christian radio. And so Dick fell right into a position that was his background, actually educationally. But he also became my friend. Now, when you're 14 or 15 years of age and you get to have a friend who's in his early to mid-20s, how many of you know that's really, really special stuff right there? And over the next few years, I began to play bass guitar, and then I ended up getting to play with that band that Dick had formed. And it wasn't long, and moving from contemporary Christian music, as we called it, we moved into the scripture songs of the 1970s. How many remember those tonight, huh? Some of you hated them, and some of you loved them. It was great. But we led worship in churches and coffee houses and especially Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowships all over Illinois. And I was just a teenager, and I was traveling with a group of guys all 10 years older than me, and it was just at those peak, difficult, tumultuous years of my teen life. And through the years, I reflected back, and I thank God that in the providence of God, He brought Dick Whitworth my way. And after 4 hours of nonstop conversation that could have gone all night, I think, with him and his wife, Jane, finally I put my hands on both their shoulders, and we gathered together there in that hotel room, and we ended the night in prayer. And I looked at Dick's eyes, and with both of us, tears in our eyes, I just said, "Dick, you have no idea what you meant to me in those years. God sent you into my life." But Boaz was all of that and more to Ruth. As he arrived to his fields that day, he noticed this new girl trailing behind the harvesters. His workers explained that she was Naomi. She was Naomi's daughter-in-law, rather, Ruth, who had accompanied Naomi back to Bethlehem from Moab. And they especially noted the work that she had done, how incredibly diligent and how hardworking she had been from the moment she arrived that morning until that moment that he inquired. Immediately, he went to her with those words of provision and protection. There's a principle here that we see in the wisdom of Proverbs and in the writings of the apostles. Hard work is something admirable in the eyes of God. That Ruth had not been diligent, those men would never have described her the way they did to Boaz. Had Ruth not been motivated to say to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and let me try to glean among the ears of grain after someone who I can find favor with," she would never have had the position to where she could receive from Boaz the way she did. Had Ruth not been willing to go and work to provide for her mother-in-law, she would never have heard the words of provision and protection flow from the lips of Boaz. But God honors faithfulness. He honors diligence and hard works. And as much as charity is prized by God as well, hard work and diligence is something that He blesses. So Ruth bowed to the ground before Boaz. And she asked him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to the people that you did not know before. The Lord will repay you for what you have done, and a full reward will be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Elimelech had more than just charity in his heart. He saw Ruth as an opportunity to represent God by his own generosity. Ruth had made her commitment standing on a road far, far away from that field that day. She had set her heart on being a faithful daughter-in-law to Naomi, despite the cost of leaving family and all of her background, all of her history in Moab. And she told Naomi on that road that day, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more so, if anything but death parts me from you." And now God was only beginning to prove himself faithful and responsive to her faith. Reward. Boaz says, "The Lord will repay you for what you have done, and a full reward will be given you. And may the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." When you bless others, how does God fit into the mix? Is it simply that you recognize that he has blessed you so much and in turn you are being a blessing? Or is it that you actually see God blessing them through you? There's a subtle difference there. Boaz could have focused a lot on himself, but instead he lets a pagan, a Moabitess, know that God is the rewarder of those who serve him. And his prayer for her is that not only now in the beginning, but extending into her life, that this is merely a down payment for you, Ruth, but I pray for you that the Lord will fully repay you for all that you have done. Now, the truth tonight is that God doesn't owe any of us anything. Could I hear an amen? And yet Boaz reflects the heart of God through his own generosity and his prayer for her. What does Hebrews 11:6 say? And I love this verse, as I'm sure many of you do. It says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must," say it with me, "must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Part of our faith tonight is to believe that God is a rewarder of his children. And even as Ruth had just begun to believe in the God of Israel, in the same way Boaz was just beginning believing that God was going to bless this young woman much further in her future. May we see God through such eyes of faith tonight. May we desire to be just the beginning of what God will fully do for others. May we not see ourselves as a source, but may we just be but one source of the many sources that God is going to use to bless someone's life. As I reflect back over my life, Dick Whitworth was only one of many that was such a blessing to me, that mentored me and taught me and helped me, spent time with me, discipled me. God is an abundant God tonight. And when we partner with God, we can know with a confidence not only we will be a blessing, but God will fully bless them through many other streams of blessing, as long as we do our part to be the conduit God wants us to be, but believing that God will fully reward and bless them in the, through others. Well, the mealtime came, and Boaz called Ruth over to sit with himself and the reapers. His generosity had no bounds. He then instructed the men to start pulling out the sheaves from out of their own bundles and to leave them on the ground behind them and to not be harsh with her and to not rebuke her in any way as she came along and she gleaned behind them from morning until night. And then she went into Bethlehem and she turned in then one ephah of flour, which was about 20 to 25 pounds of barley. She even brought home a doggy bag from the meal that she had back to Naomi. And Naomi asked her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." And Ruth responded, "His name, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And at that very moment, something changed within Naomi. She had told the whole town, "Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant, any longer, but call me Mara, which means bitter, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me." Yet now she says to Ruth, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." The first real words of hope we hear out of the lips of Naomi. She was beginning to see the Lord differently, and I'm sure it's as she had perceived him many years before, as a God of blessing and a God of kindness and a God of mercy and a God who does not forsake the living or the dead. A spark of faith began to renew within Naomi. And why? Because she continued, "The man is a close relative of ours, Ruth, one of our redeemers." And Ruth, then the Moabite, said to her, "Besides, he said to me, Boaz said to me, 'You shall keep close by all my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" It's a great story, isn't it? There's power in generosity. God commanded Israel, "If any among you, one of your brothers, should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God has given you, you shall not," notice these words, "you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend sufficient for his need, whatever it may be." Boaz did much more than meet the requirements of the law. And with a soft heart and with an open hand, he gave generously to them. It was like resuscitating Naomi's spirit. Ruth stood there in wonder, but Naomi stood there realizing that her God was still alive and that he hadn't forsaken her. You know why? Because Proverbs 14:31, "Whoever oppresses a poor insults his maker, and he who is generous to the needy honors him." Proverbs 19:17, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." I want you to notice in both of those proverbs and throughout, we know the principle of the Word of God tonight, that God is involved in our giving. If we oppress the poor, we insult God. If we are generous to the needy, we honor God. If we're generous to the poor, we lend to the Lord. And there is a promise that God will repay, again, not that he would ever be owed anything from us, and yet his word says he will repay us for our generosity. The key tonight is that God is in the midst of our giving, our generosity. When we bless others, God is involved. When we give to others, God is involved. When we're generous to others, God is involved. God is in every act of giving, and that is why giving is so powerful. It literally can change lives. It not only can change the Ruths that come our way, but it changes us when we give. Notice those words, and I've gone back to them many times in my life, that thought of having closed hands and a hard heart. You ever been that way towards someone? When you had the opportunity to give. That illustration that I mentioned this morning, if you weren't here, but a man who had come to me about a relative of his, and both of them would come down to our church in the winter times there that we pastored there in Mesa, and he was literally, there was almost a righteous indignation toward his relative because they had so much that they could do for the kingdom, and they did so little. And here was a man that couldn't do much, quote-unquote, monetarily, but he did all that he could do, and he just grieved in his heart because of that nephew of his that could have made such a difference for the kingdom. When someone is truly generous, see, it reveals their heart. And when someone holds back, it reveals the hardness of their hearts. And so tonight, as we come to a close of this chapter in Ruth's story, we're reminded as a church how important it is, isn't it, that we are generous to the poor as we were just yesterday. And they don't want to be labeled as such. And there are many now that sit right among us on a given Sunday morning. And the happiest man in this church when he sees them is this guy right over here, Pastor David Jane. And he reports back and says, "I spotted so-and-so, I spotted so-and-so." Because as we give and we bless, do you realize that God is in our giving? God is our quote-unquote generosity. You know what? Many times it doesn't cost us much, does it, to bring in those fresh fruits and vegetables. It really doesn't cost us much to bring in those canned goods. It really doesn't cost us that much when we consider all that we have, that we bless, and know that in all of it, God is involved in the very act of our open heart, soft heart, open hand toward those that don't have maybe what we have. How many of you tonight want to be a life changer? Do you want to be? I'll tell you how to be. Just give. You say, "Oh, you just mean as a pastor to give in the offering." Oh, no, no. I mean just to give of yourself. Give of your time, give of your finances, give of however way that you can give and bless others. Just give, and I promise you, the greatest life changers that we know in history have been those that gave because God was in their giving. Mother Teresa, think of the impact she's had back in India. How about Mark Buntain? I remember watching that funeral service. Many of you, maybe some of you might have been there, but I remember watching. I showed it to our church years ago. I wanted them to see that incredible parade, and as those in India, they flowed into the streets. Why did they uphold this man? Because he gave. He gave all that he could to Calcutta, and the continued seeds that he's planted continue to be giving today. How many of you want to be an influencer of others tonight? How do I do that? You just give. You give to someone, expecting by faith that the extension of your hand will be the extension of God's hand. And the openness of your heart will be the openness of God's heart. And the way that you will be generous to them is even how they will see God being generous to them. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Close your eyes, if you would, just for a moment. I expressed earlier my appreciation just that you're here tonight, because I believed it, I still believe it right now, that there's something to what we pray about on these Sunday nights that are going to bring a change and going to bring impact into our Sunday mornings. And that tends to be, in so many ways, the lifeblood of any church today, because it's when virtually all that will come, they'll come on a Sunday morning typically. But you're here tonight. Many of you are here just simply because you believe in prayer the way I do, the way our staff does that are here tonight. So I want to thank you for being here. But also I want you to consider yourself tonight and to bring yourself to the Lord and ask yourself, do you have the heart of a Boaz? Why would Boaz notice Ruth even? What was it that drew her? And we know God was working behind the scenes, but imagine if in that moment Boaz would have, for whatever the reason, been distracted or missed God or just would have not taken really notice of this young maiden that had walked onto his property. There were so many of them. And you know, every day that we live, we walk out of these doors right now, and the need we know is great. And sometimes we can just feel so overwhelmed. But you know, as we close the word tonight and come to find a place of prayer, my challenge to you is this tonight. Could there be just one? Because sometimes we get so overwhelmed with the masses. Could there just be the one Ruth in your life that this week God wants you to take notice of? Could there just be one person that he would say, would you just invest a little time into that person? I know as a pastor, and Sharon would share this with you, and it's probably true of each of us here on staff, but in a given week, I always try and I carve out multiple hours, and I do my best to sit with people, try to work through marriages, try to work through situations. And it just seems endless. At times it can feel like such a burden. And many times I have thought, if only a couple that's mature in the Lord and has gone through these circumstances years before, if only they'd be willing to just come and pull this couple under them and disciple them and mentor them. Maybe tonight God would speak to your heart. Let me know, because we have couples right here at Central Assembly that are lost right now. They don't know the journey. They can't figure out heads or tails of what to do in their marriage. And I'm no counselor, but I'll pastor them best I can. But it might be tonight you'd say, you know what, we'll pick up a couple. Or you may be a man here that in your senior years, you have decades of serving the Lord, that you could take a young man that you'd probably be shocked at all that he's going through and almost embarrassed for him. But as he'd confess his heart to you, you'd realize God could take him. He could be like a Ruth to you that you would take under your wing, and you could be generous with your time and just disciple and mentor him. Same thing with women here. So many. The needs are so great. We are so dysfunctional as a culture today, and it's come right into the church, but we can make a difference. We can make a difference. How do we do it? We have to give. It's not just going to happen. We have to give. We have to give of our time. We have to give of ourselves. So the call in this chapter 2 tonight is to consider Boaz and how you might be able to respond and be a Boaz to a Ruth in your life tonight. Father, thank you for your word. And as we come to find a place of prayer now, we just come to meet, kneel before you, God, bring our heart to you, whatever it is. There may be great needs that have yet to be prayed for. And as we bow and kneel before you, God, I pray that you will meet us here tonight. But Lord, also, right now, I just pray that the spirit of Boaz would be within every one of our hearts tonight. God, may we take notice of those around us, and we may be not be able to take in all of those that are out working the field, but Lord, may it be a Ruth. May there be that one that we might this week say we can be a difference maker in their life, Lord. Thank you for speaking through your word to us, Lord, and I pray that all of us would have soft hearts and open hands for you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me tonight? I'm going to open up the altars, but I did want, before we did, to invite you to lift your eyes with me heavenward and just to say, Lord, I open my heart right now and say, Lord, remove a hard heart. If any way that we're hard toward the poor, we're hard toward those that are around us, maybe our hearts have grown kind of cynical at times, and I understand that, but could we just right now close this season of prayer and this time in His Word and say, Lord, soften my heart. Would you say that? Soften my heart. Melt me like butter. Don't let me be hardened like adobe, but let me be melted like butter, Lord, and keep soft-hearted toward the needs that are around us. And then could we open up our hands and lift them to Him and say, Lord, how could I be close-handed? How could I have a fist? Oh, God, because you've given us so much. So let's lift our hands and keep them open to Him and say, Lord, let me be a channel. Let me receive because I know I will receive and you're so good to us. But Lord, let me as well be open that I keep giving to others and you keep giving to me and I keep giving to others, Lord. Let us be part of that conduit of your grace and your goodness and your mercy. And may we be free with our hearts and with our hands, Lord, so that we might lend freely to the poor and lend to you, God, that we might be a blessing to those that come around us. Help us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Would you find a place of prayer? And let's start this new week off on our knees. If you're not able, I know many of you are not able to really bend and kneel like that. Would you just right where you're at, then be seated. But take a few minutes. Let's find a place of prayer. And let's meet with the Lord. Let's offer ourselves to Him tonight.